So last time we established that the language model gave AI a genuinely powerful brain, but a brain sitting in isolation can't actually do anything in the world.
Exactly. And that gap is precisely what the agentic shift is about. The key idea is adding an action loop. Instead of just generating a response, the system can do something, call a tool, read a file, run code, and then incorporate what it gets back into its next decision.
So the difference between a chatbot and an agent is that the agent can reach out and touch things?
That's a clean way to put it. Formally, an AI agent is a system that pursues a goal by selecting actions, using tools, interacting with an environment, and folding the resulting observations back into subsequent decisions. It's a loop, not a single exchange.
And there's a specific framework for how that loop runs, right?
Yes. It's called React. The pattern is thought, then action, then observation, repeating. The model reasons about what to do, takes an action, sees what comes back, and updates its reasoning. Crucially, the reasoning guides the actions, and the actions provide external information that can revise the reasoning. Neither side is passive.
So not X, but a genuine back and forth between thinking and doing?
Exactly. And that's what separates it from a model that just predicts the next token. The environment talks back.
Now, what kinds of tools are we actually talking about? For someone listening who's picturing a robot arm, what does tool use look like in practice?
Think of a calculator, a search engine, a code executor, a calendar, a translation system. Research on a model called Toolformer showed that a language model could learn to decide which API to call, when to call it, what arguments to pass, and how to use the result, all through a self-supervised training process. Not hand-labeled examples.
Wait, self-supervised? So the model taught itself when tools were useful?
Essentially, yes. The training procedure proposed candidate API calls and kept the ones where the tool result actually improved the model's prediction of later text. Prediction improvement became the signal for learning when to reach for a tool. And here's the surprising part. A 6.7 billion parameter model with learned tool use outperformed a much larger model without it on a range of tasks.
So a smaller, tool-equipped agent can beat a bigger conversational model on practical work. That reframes the whole capability question.
It does. And it explains why, for tasks like inbox cleanup or flight research, a less verbally impressive agent can outperform a more capable conversational model. The key isn't eloquence. It's whether the system can reach the right tool at the right moment.
Mm-hmm. But for a tool to be reachable, the model has to know how to invoke it correctly. How does that specification work?
The tool interface has to declare the tool's name, what inputs it accepts, what format the output takes, and any operational constraints. Without that contract, the model is guessing, and an agent normally needs more than just the model. You also need memory or state, an orchestration loop, and the environment itself.
Right. But how does that translate to real-world safety? Because if an agent can send messages, modify files, make purchases, a reasoning error isn't just a wrong answer anymore.
That's the critical pressure point. Tool permissions should be limited precisely because a reasoning error can become a real-world consequence. The controls that matter are sandboxing, monitoring, human oversight, and containment. And there's a subtler risk, prompt injection, where untrusted content inside a web page or document embeds instructions that try to redirect the agent's behavior.
So the agent reads a document, and the document fights back?
That's not an exaggeration, and the safety picture is sobering. A benchmark called Agent Safety Bench evaluated 16 popular LLM agents across 349 interaction environments and 2,000 test cases. None of them scored above 60% on safety. The two core weaknesses were insufficient robustness and insufficient risk awareness.
And I'd assume more capability doesn't automatically fix that?
Counterintuitively, no. Substantial capability gains have produced notably small improvements in overall agent reliability when you measure consistency, robustness, predictability, and safety as separate dimensions. There's even evidence that schema-formatted tool descriptions, the very specifications that help a model invoke tools correctly, may weaken refusal signals and contribute to unsafe execution.
So the takeaway for everyone following this is, giving AI hands is genuinely powerful, but the hands need guardrails, permission scopes, confirmation gates, audit logs, before they touch anything consequential.
That's exactly it. The agentic shift is real, and it's already reshaping what AI can do in the world. But reliability and safety are not automatic byproducts of capability. Reliability and safety have to be engineered in and measured separately, not treated as afterthoughts. The brain got powerful. Now the question is whether the hands can be trusted.